things first. It does not matter if the object of your complaint is about someone you're angry with, someone who has betrayed you, behavior in others that you believe is wrong, or something wrong with your own physical body. Complaining is complaining, and it disallows recovery. So whether you're feeling good and are looking for a way to maintain that good feeling state of being, or if your physical body is diminished in some way and you're looking for recovery, the process is the same. Learn to guide your thoughts in the direction of things that feel good and discover the power that only comes from vibrational alignment with Source. As you continue to listen here, things that you've known long before you were born will be remembered, and you'll begin to feel a resonance with these laws and processes that will give you a feeling of empowerment. And then all that is required for the achievement and maintenance of a healthy, good-feeling body is some deliberate attention to thoughts and feelings and a sincere desire to feel good.
I can feel good in my body.
If you are not feeling good or looking the way you want to look, it has a way of reflecting out into other aspects of your life experience, and it's for that reason that we want to emphasize the value in bringing your physical body into balance and comfort and well-being. There is nothing in the universe that responds faster to your thoughts than your own physical body, and so aligned thoughts bring a quick response and obvious results. Your physical well-being is really the easiest of subjects over which you have absolute control, for it is what you are doing about you. However, because you are translating everything in this world through the lens of how your physical body feels, if you do get out of balance, it can negatively affect a much larger part of your life than only your physical body. You are never more clear about wanting to be healthy and to feel good than when you are sick and feeling bad. And so the experience of being sick is a powerful launching pad for the asking for wellness. So, if in the moment that your sickness has caused you to ask for wellness, you could turn your undivided attention to the idea of being well, it would occur immediately. But for most, now that you're feeling bad, that's what has your attention. Once you are sick, it is logical that you would now notice how you feel, and in doing so, you would prolong the sickness. But it was not your attention to the lack of wellness that made you sick. Instead, it was your attention to the lack of many things that you desire. Chronic attention to unwanted things holds you in a place of disallowing your physical well-being, as well as disallowing the solutions to other subjects you're focused upon. If you could focus your attention upon the idea of experiencing physical well-being with as much passion as you focus upon the absence of it, not only would you recover quickly, but maintaining your physical well-being and balance would also be easy.
Words do not teach, but life experience does.
Simply hearing words, even when they are perfect words that accurately explain truths, does not bring understanding. But the combination of careful words of explanation coupled with life experience that is always consistent with the laws of the universe, does bring understanding. It is our expectation that as you hear these words and then live your life, you will achieve a complete understanding of how all things occur in your experience, and you will accomplish complete control of all aspects of your life, especially things that have to do with your own body. Perhaps your physical condition is exactly as you want it to be. If that is the case, then continue to focus upon your body as it is, feeling appreciation for the aspects that are pleasing you, and you'll maintain that condition. But if there are changes that you would like to make, whether it is in appearance, or stamina, or wellness, then it will be of great value for you to begin telling a different story, not only about your body, but about all subjects that have been troubling you. As you begin to positively focus, getting to feel so good about so many subjects that you often feel passion rise up within you, you will begin to feel the power of the universe, the power that creates worlds flowing through you. You are the only one who creates in your experience, no one else. Everything that comes to you comes by the power of your thought. When you focus long enough that you feel passion, you harness more power and you achieve greater results. The other thoughts, while they are important and have creative potential, usually are only maintaining what you have already created. And so many people continue to maintain unwanted physical experiences simply by offering consistent, not powerful, and not accompanied by strong emotion, thoughts. In other words, they merely continue telling the same stories about things that seem unfair or unwanted things that they disagree with. and in doing so, they maintain unwanted conditions. The simple intention of telling better-feeling stories about all subjects that you focus upon will have a great effect on your physical body. But since words do not teach, it is our suggestion that you try telling a different story for a while and observe for yourself what happens.
The law of attraction expands my every thought.
The law of attraction says, that which is likened to itself is drawn. In other words, that which you think, in any moment, attracts into itself other thoughts that are like it. That is why whenever you are thinking about a subject that is not pleasant, more unpleasant thoughts regarding that subject are quickly drawn. You find yourself, in very short order, not only experiencing what you are experiencing in this moment, but reaching into your past for more data that matches that vibration. And now, by the law of attraction, as your negative thought expands proportionately, so does your negative emotion. Soon you find yourself discussing the unpleasant subject with others, and now they add to it, often reaching into their past, until in a very short period of time, most of you, upon any subject that you ponder very long, attract enough supporting data that it does bring forth the essence of the subject of the thought into your experience. It is natural that by knowing what you do not want, you are able to clarify what you do want, and there's nothing wrong with identifying a problem before beginning to look for a solution. But many people, over time, become problem-oriented rather than solution-oriented, and in their examination and explanation of the problem, they continue the perpetuation of the problem. Again, telling a different story is of great value. Tell a solution-oriented story instead of a problem-oriented story. If you wait until you're sick before you begin to try to focus more positively, it's much harder than if you begin to tell the story of well-being from your place of feeling good. But in any case, your new story will, in time, bring you different results. That which is likened to itself is drawn, so tell the story you want to live, and you will eventually live it. Some people worry that since they're already sick, they cannot now be well because their sickness now has their attention, and therefore their attention to sickness is perpetuating more sickness. We agree. That would be correct if they only have the ability to focus upon what is at this time. But since it is possible to think about things other than what is happening right now, it is possible for things to change. However, you cannot focus only upon current problems and get change. You have to focus upon the positive results that you are seeking in order to get something different. The law of attraction is responding to your thought, not to your current reality. When you change the thought, your reality must follow suit. If things are going very well for you right now, then focusing upon what is happening now will cause the well-being to continue. But if there are things that are happening now that are not pleasing, you must find a way of taking your attention away from those unwanted things. You have the ability to focus your thoughts about yourself, about your body, and about the things that matter to you in a different direction from only what is happening right now. You have the ability to imagine things that are coming, or to remember things that have happened before. And when you do so with the deliberate intent of finding good-feeling things to think and speak about, you can quickly change your patterns of thought, and therefore your vibration, and eventually your life experience.
15 minutes to my intentional well-being.
It is not easy to imagine a healthy foot when your toe is painfully throbbing, but it is of great value for you to do everything you can do to distract yourself from your throbbing toe. However, a time of acute physical discomfort is not an effective time to try to visualize well-being. The best time to do that is when you are feeling the best you usually feel. In other words, if you usually feel physically better during the first part of the day, choose that time for visualization of your new story. If you usually feel better after taking a long, warm bath, choose that time for visualization. Set aside approximately 15 minutes where you can close your eyes and withdraw as much as possible from your awareness of what is. Try to find a quiet place where you will not be distracted and imagine yourself in a state of physical thriving. Imagine walking briskly and breathing deeply and enjoying the flavor of the air you are breathing. Imagine walking briskly up a gentle incline and smile in appreciation of the stamina of your body. See yourself bending and stretching and enjoying the flexibility of your body. Take your time exploring pleasant scenarios with the sole intent of enjoying your body and appreciating its strength and stamina and flexibility and beauty. When you visualize for the joy of visualizing, rather than with the intention of correcting some deficiency, your thoughts are more pure and therefore more powerful. When you visualize to overcome something that is wrong, your thoughts are diluted with the lackful side of the equation. Sometimes people explain that they have long held desires that have not manifested, and they argue that the law of attraction is not working for them. But that is because they have been asking for improvement from a place of keen awareness of the lack of what they desire. It takes time to reorient your thoughts so that they are predominantly focused toward what you want. But in time, it will feel perfectly natural to you to do so. In time, your new story will be the one that you tell most easily. If you do take the time to positively imagine your body, those good-feeling thoughts will become dominant, and then your physical condition must acquiesce to those thoughts. But if you only focus upon the conditions as they exist, nothing will change. As you imagine and visualize and verbalize your new story, in time you will believe the new story, and when that happens, the evidence will flow swiftly into your experience. A belief is only a thought you continue to think, and when your beliefs match your desires, then your desires must become your reality. Nothing stands between you and anything that you desire other than your own patterns of thought. There is no physical body, no matter what the state of decline, no matter what the conditions, that cannot achieve an improved condition. Nothing else in your experience responds as quickly as your own physical body to your patterns of thought.
I am not bound by others' beliefs.
With a little bit of effort focused in the right direction, you will achieve remarkable results. And in time, you will remember that you can be or do or have anything that you focus upon and achieve vibrational alignment with. You came into your physical body and into this physical world from your non-physical perspective, and you were very clear about your intention to be here. You did not define all of the details of your physical life experience before you got here, but you did set forth clear intentions about the vitality of your physical body from which you would create your life experience. You felt enormous eagerness to be here. When you first arrived in your small infant body, you were closer to the inner world than to the physical world, and your sense of well-being and strength was very strong. But as time passed and you became focused into your physical world, you began to observe others who had lost their strong connection to well-being, and bit by bit, your sense of well-being began to fade as well. It is possible to be born into this physical world and continue to maintain your connection to who you really are and to your absolute well-being. However, most people, once they're focused into this time-space reality, do not. The primary reason for the fading of your awareness of personal well-being is the clamoring of those around you for you to find ways to please them. While your parents and teachers are, for the most part, well-meaning people, they are nevertheless more interested in your finding ways to please them than in your finding ways to please yourself. And so, in the process of socialization, almost all people in almost all societies lose their way because they're coaxed or coerced away from their own guidance system. Most societies demand that you make your action your top priority. You are rarely encouraged to consider your vibrational alignment or your connection to your inner world. Most people eventually become motivated by the approval or disapproval that is directed at them by others. And so, with their misplaced attention upon accomplishing the action that is most respected by the onlookers of their lives, they lose their alignment, and then everything in their experience is diminished. But you were eager about being born into this physical world of such amazing variety because you understood the value of that contrast from which you would build your own experience. You knew that you would come to understand from your own experience what you preferred from the variety of options that would be available to you. Whenever you know what you do not want, you understand more clearly what it is that you do want. But so many people take that first step of identifying what is not wanted, and instead of then turning toward what is wanted and achieving vibrational alignment with that, they instead continue to talk about what they do not want. And in time, the vitality that they were born with wanes.
There is time enough to accomplish it.
When you do not understand the power of thought, and you do not take the time to align your thought to allow this power, you are then resigned to create through the power of action, which comparatively is not much. And so if you've been working hard with your action to accomplish something and have not managed to achieve it, often you feel overwhelmed or incapable of now making it happen. Some people simply feel that they do not have enough time left in their lives to be and do and have the things that they have dreamed of. But we want you to understand that if you will take the time to deliberately align with the energy that creates worlds through the power of focusing your thoughts, you will discover a leverage that will help you quickly accomplish things that have formerly seemed not possible. There is nothing that you cannot be or do or have once you accomplish the necessary alignment. And when you do, your own life experience will give you the evidence of your alignment. Before things actually manifest, your proof of alignment comes in the form of positive, good-feeling emotion. And if you understand that, then you will be able to hold steady to your course while the manifestation of the things you desire are making their way to you. The law of attraction says, that which is likened to itself is drawn. Whatever your state of being, whatever the way you feel, you are attracting more of the essence of that. To want or desire something always feels good when you believe you can achieve it. But desire in the face of doubt feels very uncomfortable. We want you to understand that wanting something and believing you can accomplish it is a state of alignment, while wanting something and doubting it is misalignment. Wanting and believing is alignment. Wanting and expecting is alignment. Expecting something unwanted is not alignment. You can feel your alignment or misalignment.
Why do I want perfect bodily conditions?
Although it may seem strange to you, we cannot begin to address your physical body without addressing your non-physical roots and your eternal connection to those roots, because you, in your physical body, are an extension of that inner being. In very simple terms, in order to be at your maximum state of health and well-being, you must be in vibrational alignment with your inner being. And in order to do that, you must be aware of your emotions or feelings. Your physical state of well-being is directly related to your vibrational alignment with your inner being or source, which means every thought that you think on every subject can positively or negatively affect that connection. In other words, it is not possible to maintain a healthy physical body without a keen awareness of your emotions and a determination to direct your thoughts toward good-feeling subjects. When you remember that feeling good is natural and you make an effort to find the positive aspects of the subjects that you are considering, you will train your thoughts to match the thoughts of your inner being, and that is a tremendous advantage to your physical body. When your thoughts are chronically good-feeling, your physical body will thrive. Of course, there is a broad range of emotions, from those that feel very bad to those that feel very good. But in any moment in time, because of whatever you're focused upon, you actually only have two choices in emotion, a better feeling one or a worse feeling one. So you could accurately say there are really only two emotions, and you effectively utilize your guidance system when you deliberately choose the better feeling of those two options. And in doing so, in time, you can tune yourself to the precise frequency of your inner being, and when you do that, your physical body will thrive.
I can trust my eternal inner being.
Your inner being is the source part of you that continues to evolve through the thousands of life experiences that you live. And with each sifting and sorting experience, the source within you always chooses the best feeling of the available choices, which means your inner being is eternally tuning itself to love and joy and all that is good. That is the reason that when you choose to love another or yourself rather than find fault, you feel good. Good feeling is confirmation of your alignment with your source. When you choose thoughts that are out of alignment with source, which produces an emotional response like fear or anger or jealousy, those feelings indicate your vibrational variance from source. Source never turns away from you, but offers steadily a steady vibration of well-being. And so when you feel negative emotion, it means that you are preventing your vibrational access to source and to the stream of well-being. As you begin telling stories about your body and about your life and your work and the people in your life that feel good as you tell them, you will achieve a steady connection with that stream of well-being that is ever flowing to you. And as you focus upon the things that you desire, feeling positive emotion as you focus, you access the power that creates worlds and you flow it toward your object of attention.
What is the role of thought in traumatic injuries? Abraham, are traumatic injuries created in the same way that diseases are created? And can they be resolved through thought? In other words, like a breakage of something that happened in a momentary incident as opposed to a long series of thoughts leading up to it.
Whether the trauma to your body seemed to come suddenly as a result of an accident or whether it came from a disease such as cancer, you have created the situation through your thought, and the healing will come through your thought as well. Chronic thoughts of ease promote wellness, while chronic stressful or resentful or hateful or fearful thoughts promote disease. But whether the result shows up suddenly, as in falling and breaking your bones, or more slowly, as in cancer, whatever you are living always matches the balance of your thoughts. Once you've experienced the diminishment of well-being, whether it has come as broken bones or internal diseases, it is not likely that you will suddenly find good-feeling thoughts that match those of your inner being. In other words, if before your accident or disease you were not choosing thoughts that aligned with well-being, it's not likely that now you're faced with discomfort or pain or a frightening diagnosis, you will suddenly find that alignment. It is much easier to achieve great health from moderate health than to achieve great health from poor health. However, you can get to wherever you want to be from wherever you are if you are able to distract your attention from the unwanted aspects of your life and focus upon aspects that are more pleasing. It really is only a matter of focus. Sometimes a frightening diagnosis or traumatic injury is a powerful catalyst in getting you to focus your attention more deliberately on things that do feel good. In fact, some of our best students of deliberate creation are those who have been given a frightening diagnosis where doctors have told them that there's nothing more that can be done for them, who now, since they have no other options, deliberately begin to focus their thoughts. It is interesting that so many people will not do what really works until all other options have been exhausted. But we do understand that you've acclimated to your action-oriented world, and so action does seem to most of you to be the best first option. We're not guiding you away from action, but instead encouraging that you find better feeling thoughts first and then follow with the action that you feel inspired to.
Could a congenital illness be vibrationally resolved? Abraham, can a congenital illness, something a person came into physical form with at birth, could that be resolved by thought?
Yes. From wherever you stand, you can get to wherever you want to be. If you could understand that your now is only the jumping-off place for that which is to come, you could move quickly, even from dramatic, unwanted things to things that please you. If this life experience contains the data that causes you to give birth to a desire, then the wherewithal to accomplish it is available to you. But you must focus upon where you want to be, not where you are, or you cannot move toward your desire. However, you cannot create outside your own beliefs.
Major diseases come and go, but why? Abraham, in my earlier years, there were major diseases like tuberculosis and polio that we hear very little of anymore. But we're not short of diseases because now we have heart disease and cancer, which we almost never heard of back then. In those days, syphilis and gonorrhea were constantly in the news. We don't hear much of those anymore. But now AIDS and herpes stay foremost in the news. Why do there always seem to be more diseases cropping up? In other words, as cures are being discovered, why don't we just finally run out of diseases to be cured?
Because of your attention to lack. Feelings of powerlessness and vulnerability all produce more to feel powerless and vulnerable about. You cannot focus upon the conquering of a disease without giving your attention to disease. But it's also very important to understand that looking for cures for diseases, even when you find them, is a short-sighted and in the long run ineffective process. Because, as you've pointed out, new diseases are continually being created. When you begin to look for and understand the vibrational causes for diseases, rather than looking for cures, then you will come to the end of the pile of diseases. When you are able to deliberately accomplish the emotion of ease and its accompanying vibrational alignment, it is possible to live disease-free. Most people spend very little time basking in appreciation for the wellness they are currently experiencing, but instead they wait until they are sick and then they turn their attention to recovery. Good-feeling thoughts produce and sustain physical well-being. You live in very busy times and you find many things to fuss and worry about, and in doing so, you hold yourself out of alignment, and disease is the result. And then you focus upon the disease and perpetuate more disease. But you can break the cycle at any time. You do not have to wait for your society to understand in order to achieve wonderful physical wellness yourself. Your natural state is one of wellness.
I've witnessed my body heal itself naturally. Abraham, I became aware early in my life that my body heals quickly. In other words, if I cut or I scratched my body, I could almost watch it heal right before my eyes. Like within 5 minutes, I could actually see that healing had begun. And then in a very short time, the wound would just be completely healed, just all on its own.
Your body is made up of intelligent cells that are always bringing themselves into balance. And the better you feel, the less you are vibrationally interfering with that cellular rebalancing. If you're focused upon things that are bothering you, the cells of your body are hindered in their natural balancing process. And once an illness has been diagnosed and you then turn your attention to that illness, the hindering is greater still. Since the cells of your body know what to do to come into balance, if you can find a way of focusing your attention upon good feeling thoughts, you'll stop your negative interference and your recovery will come. Every disease, hear it, dis-ease, is caused by vibrational discord or resistance, without exception. And since most people were unaware of their discordant thoughts prior to the illness, usually making little effort to practice good feeling thoughts, once the illness occurs, it's very difficult then to find pure positive thoughts. But if you could understand that your thoughts and your thoughts alone are causing the resistance that is preventing the wellness, and you could turn your thoughts in a more positive direction, your recovery could be very fast. No matter what the disease is and no matter how much it has progressed, the question is, can you direct your thoughts positively regardless of the condition? Usually at this point, someone asks, but what about the sick child who has just been born? Do not assume, because a child is not yet speaking, that the child is not thinking or offering vibration. There are tremendous influences to wellness and sickness that occur even when the child is still in the womb or newly born.
By attention to wellness, I'll maintain wellness. Okay, Abraham, because I've seen my body heal, and because that healing has been visible to me, I expect that. But how can we get to the point that we know that all parts of the body will heal? You know, people seem to be most frightened of the parts they can't see, those parts that are hidden inside of the body, so to speak.
It is a wonderful thing to see the results of your thoughts out in the open in obvious fashion. And just as your wound or sickness is evidence of misalignment, your healing or wellness is evidence of alignment. Your tendency toward wellness is much stronger than your tendency for illness, and that is the reason that even with some negative thinking, most of you do remain mostly well. You've come to expect your wounds to heal, which helps tremendously in the healing process, but when the evidence of your illness is something that you cannot see, where you must rely on the investigation of your doctor who uses his medical tests or equipments to probe for information, you often feel powerless and fearful, which not only slows the healing process, but is also a strong reason for the creation of the illness. Many people have come to feel vulnerable about the unseen parts of their body, and that feeling of vulnerability is a very strong catalyst in the perpetuation of illness. Most people go to the doctor when they are sick, asking for information about what's wrong, and when you look for something wrong, you usually find it. The law of attraction insists on it, actually. A continual searching for things wrong with your body will, in time, produce evidence of something wrong. Not because it was lurking there all along and you finally probed long enough to find it, but because repeated thought eventually creates its equivalent.
When inspired to visit a medical doctor.
There are many who would protest our perspective, claiming that we are irresponsible when we do not encourage regular checkups on the quest for things that have gone wrong or could potentially go wrong with your physical body. And if we did not understand the power of your thoughts, we might even say that if it makes you feel more secure to go to the doctor, then by all means go. In fact, sometimes when you go looking for trouble and do not find it, you do feel better. But more often than not, the repeated looking for something wrong over time creates it. It really is that simple. We're not saying that medicine is bad or that there is no value to be received by a visit to your doctor. Medicine, doctors, all healing professions in general, are neither good or bad at their own face value, but instead they are as valuable as your vibrational stance can allow them to be. Our encouragement is that you pay attention to your emotional balance, work deliberately to find the best feeling thoughts you can find, and practice them until they are habitual. And in doing so, you will tend to your vibrational alignment first, and then follow through with whatever action you feel inspired to. In other words, a trip to your doctor or action toward anything, when accompanied by joy or love or good-feeling emotion, is always valuable, while action that is motivated by your fear or vulnerability or any bad-feeling emotion is never valuable. Your physical well-being, like everything else, is profoundly affected by the beliefs that you hold. Usually, when you are younger, your expectation of wellness is stronger. But as you get older, most of you degenerate on a sort of sliding scale that reflects what you're seeing in others around you. And your observation is not inaccurate. Older people often do experience more illness and less vitality. But the reason for the decline of people as they get older is not because their physical bodies are programmed to break down over time, but because the longer they live, the more they find to fuss and worry about, causing resistance to their natural stream of well-being. Illness is about resistance, not about age.
Euphoria in the jaws of a lion. I heard that a famous man, a Dr. Livingston, while in Africa, was dragged off by a lion that had grabbed him in his jaws. He said that he went into a sort of euphoric state and felt no pain. I've seen prey go limp like that when they're about to be eaten by a larger animal. It's kind of like there's a giving up and the struggle is over. But my question is about his statement about feeling no pain. Was what he was calling euphoria a mental condition or a physical condition? And is that something that only happens in extreme conditions like when you're about to be eaten or killed? Or could it be utilized by anyone when there's something that's painful in order to not feel the pain?
First, we will say that you cannot accurately separate that which is physical from that which is mental, from that which is coming from your higher or inner being. In other words, you are a physically focused being, yes, and you are a thinking mental being, yes. But the life force or energy that comes forth from within you is offered from a broader perspective. In a situation where it's likely that you would not recover, in other words, once a lion has you in his jaws, usually he's going to be the victor, your inner being intervenes and offers a flow of energy that would be received by you as that sort of euphoric state. You do not have to wait until you are in such an intense situation before you have access to the stream of well-being from Source, but most people do not allow it until they have no other choice. You were right in your choice of words that there was a giving up that allowed that stream of well-being to flow powerfully. But we want you to understand that what was actually given up was the struggle, the resistance, not the desire to continue to live in this physical body. You have to take all of that into consideration as you are examining specific situations. Someone with less enthusiasm for life, with less determination to live and to accomplish, may very well have experienced a different outcome and have been killed and devoured by the lion. Everything that you experience is about the balance of thought between your desires and your expectations. A state of allowing is something that must be practiced in normal day-to-day circumstances, not in the midst of attacks by lions. But even in the middle of such an intense situation, the power of your intentions always causes the outcome. Practiced alignment, brought about by consistently good-feeling thoughts, is the path to being pain-free. Pain is only a more emphatic indicator of resistance. First there's negative emotion, then more negative emotion, then more negative emotion. You have tremendous leeway here, then sensation, then pain. We tell our physical friends, if you have negative emotion and you don't realize that it's an indicator letting you know about resistant thought, and you don't do something to correct your resistant thought, by the law of attraction, your resistant thought will grow stronger. If you still don't do anything to bring yourself into alignment and better feeling thought, it will grow stronger still, until eventually you will experience pain or illness or other indicators of your resistance.
How could someone feeling pain focus elsewhere? Okay, so I've heard you say that in order to heal ourselves, we want to get our thoughts off of the problem and onto what we're wanting. But if we're in pain, how do we not feel it? How can we get our attention off the pain long enough to concentrate on something we do want?
You're right, it is very difficult not to think about the throbbing toe. Most of you do not think clearly about what you do want until you're living what you don't want. Most of you sort of drift into your day, blundering here and there, not offering any real conscious thought. Because you do not understand the power of your thought, you usually do not offer any real deliberate thought until you're faced with something that you do not want. And then, once you're faced with something that you do not want, then you attack it fully. Then you give it your attention, which, knowing the law of attraction as we do, only makes things worse. And so our encouragement would be, look for times or segments when you're not feeling such intensity of throbbing pain, and then focus upon the well-being. You have to find a way of separating what is happening in your experience from your emotional response to what is happening. In other words, you could have pain in your body, and during the pain you could be feeling fear, or you could have pain in your body while feeling hopeful. The pain does not have to dictate your attitude or the thoughts that you're thinking. It is possible to think about something other than the pain, and if you can achieve that, then in time the pain will subside. However, if once the pain occurs, you give the pain your undivided attention, then you will only perpetuate more of what you do not want. Someone who's been focused negatively upon any variety of subjects and now is experiencing pain, now has to overcome the pain and focus positively. You see, your negative habit of thought brought about the illness, and to suddenly switch to positive thoughts required to allow wellness is not likely to be a fast process, because now you have the hindering pain or illness or both to contend with. Preventative wellness is far easier to accomplish than corrective wellness. But in either case, improved feeling thoughts, thoughts of greater and greater relief, are the key. Even in situations where a lot of pain is being experienced, there are times of greater and lesser discomfort. Choose the best feeling times from the range you are experiencing to find positive aspects and to choose better feeling thoughts. And as you continue to reach for thoughts that bring greater emotional relief, that positive leaning will eventually bring you back to well-being, every time, no exceptions.
My natural state is one of well-being.
At the core of that which you are is wellness and well-being. And if you're experiencing anything less than that, there is resistance present within your vibration. Resistance is caused by focusing upon the lack of what is wanted, while allowing is caused by focusing upon what is wanted. Resistance is caused by thought that does not match the perspective of your source. Allowing is experienced when your current thoughts do match the perspective of your source. Your natural state is one of wellness, one of absolute health, one of perfect bodily conditions. And if you're experiencing anything other than that, it is only because the balance of thought within you is toward the lack of what you want instead of what you do want. It is your resistance that causes an illness in the first place, and it's your resistance to that illness that holds it to you once it gets there. It's your attention to what you do not want that creates unwanted things in your experience. And so, it's logical that your attention to what you do want would be more appropriate. Sometimes you think you're thinking about well-being when you're really worried about being sick, and the only way to be sure of the vibrational difference is by paying attention to the emotion that always accompanies your thought. Feeling your way to the thoughts that promote wellness is much easier than trying to think yourself there. Make a commitment to yourself to feel good, and then guide your thoughts accordingly, and you'll discover that without even realizing it, that you've been harboring resentments, feeling unworthy, and feeling powerless. But now that you've decided to pay attention to your emotions, these resistant, illness-producing thoughts will no longer go unnoticed. It's not natural for you to be sick, and it's not natural for you to harbor negative emotion. For at your core, you're like your inner being. You are well, and you feel very, very good.
But could a baby's thoughts attract disease? I think I sort of get all of that, Abraham, but the question that almost anyone would ask at this point, even though you touched on it lightly earlier, and that is, how could a new baby that has no conscious awareness of disease, how could they attract the disease?
First, we want to state unequivocally that no one is creating your reality other than you. But it's important to realize that the you that you know as you did not begin as that small infant born to your mother. You are an eternal being, having lived many experiences. You came forth into this physical body from a long background of creating. People often think that it would be a much better world if all newborn babies could be born meeting all of the standards of a perfect physical body. But that's not necessarily the intention of every being who comes forth into a physical body. There are many beings who, because the contrast creates an interesting effect that proves valuable in many other ways, deliberately intend to vary from what is normal. In other words, you just cannot assume that something has gone wrong when babies are born with differences. Imagine an athlete who has become very good at playing tennis. People sitting courtside watching the match may assume that this player would be happiest always playing against an opponent with less skill who she can easily beat. But the athlete may very well prefer exactly the opposite. She may prefer people who are at the top of their game, who draw forth from her focus and precision that's not been drawn before. And in like manner, Many who are at the top of their game in physical creating want opportunities to view life differently so that new options can be evoked and new experiences can be lived. And these beings also understand that there can be tremendous benefit to those who are close by when something different from what is normal is being experienced. People often incorrectly assume that since the baby cannot speak, it could not be creating its own reality, but that is not the case. Even those who do have language are not creating through words, but through thoughts. Your babies are thinking when they are born, and before they are born, they are vibrationally aware. Their vibrational frequencies are immediately affected by the vibrations that surround them in their birth environment, but there's no need to worry about them, for they, like you, were born with a guidance system to help them to discern the difference between the offering of beneficial thoughts and the disallowing of well-being thoughts.
Why have some been born with illnesses? So when you're speaking of the balance of thought, are you saying the balance of thought even from before we're born? In other words, would that be why someone could be born with a physical problem?
It is. But just as the balance of your thought now is equaling what you are living, the balance of thought that you held prior to your birth is also what equaled what you are living. But you must understand that there are those who have come forth deliberately wanting physical disability because they wanted the benefit that they knew would come from it. They were wanting to add some balance to their perspective. Before you came into this physical body, you understood that from wherever you stand, you can make a new decision about what you want. And so there was no concern about your starting place in your physical body because you knew that if that condition inspired a desire for something different, the new desire was attainable. There are many people who have achieved tremendous success in many areas of life who were born into conditions that would be considered to be the extreme opposite of success. And those raw and ragged beginnings served them extremely well because born out of that poverty or dysfunction was strong desire, which was the beginning of the asking that was necessary before success could begin to flow to them. All beings who come forth into a physical body have full understanding of the body they are coming into. And you may trust that if they came forth and remain, it was their intention from non-physical to do so. And without exception, when where you are currently standing causes you to make another decision about what you now desire, you have the ability, if you focus your thought, to accomplish the essence of that creation. Most who are attracting less than wellness are doing so by default. They may very well desire wellness, while the majority of their thoughts are upon subjects that do not support wellness. It's not a good idea to stand in your perspective and try to evaluate the appropriateness of what anyone else is living, because you'll never be able to figure it out. But you always know where you stand relative to what you are wanting. And if you will pay attention to what you're thinking and let your thoughts be guided by the feeling that comes forth from within you, you'll find yourself guiding your thoughts more of the time in the direction of that which will ultimately please you.
Let's discuss the concept of incurable diseases. Abraham, the most recent of what we call our incurable diseases is AIDS. And yet, we're now beginning to see what they call AIDS survivors, people who've lived way beyond the time that they told they were going to be able to live. What would you suggest to someone who's already afflicted with AIDS and now is wanting some help?
There is not a physical apparatus, no matter what the state of deterioration, that cannot achieve perfect health. But that which you believe has everything to do with what you allow in your experience. If you've been convinced that something is not curable, that it's fatal, and then you're told that you have it, usually your belief will be that you will not survive, and so you will not. But your survival has nothing to do with the disease and everything to do with your thoughts. And so if you say to yourself, that may be true for others, but it's not true for me, because I am the creator of my experience and I choose recovery, not death at this time, you can recover. We know that these words are easily said by us and not so easily heard by those who do not believe in their power to create. But your experience always reflects the balance of your thoughts. Your experience is a clear indication of the thoughts that you think. When you change the thoughts you are thinking, your experience, or indicator, must change also. It is law.
Focus on fun to regain one's health. Abraham, there was an author, his name was Norman Cousins, who had gone to Russia and had contracted a disease that was considered to be incurable. I don't think that anyone had ever recovered from it. But he survived it. And he said he was able to do so by watching a series of humorous television programs. I understand he just watched those programs and laughed, and the disease went away. What would you say was behind his recovery?
His recovery was accomplished because he achieved vibrational alignment with well-being. There are two primary factors involved in his finding vibrational alignment. First, his desire for wellness was dramatically enhanced by his illness. And second, the programs he watched distracted him from the illness. The pleasure that he felt as he laughed at the humor of the program was his indication that his disallowance of well-being had ceased. Those are the two factors required in the creation of anything: want it and allow it. Usually, once people have focused upon problems and such enough that they've disallowed their well-being and they're seriously ill, then they turn their undivided attention to the illness, thus perpetuating it more. Sometimes a doctor can enhance your belief in wellness if he has a process or a remedy that he believes will help you, and in that case the desire is amplified because of the illness and the belief is enhanced because of the proposed remedy. But in the case of the supposedly incurable disease or in the case of the supposedly curable disease, the two factors that brought about the healing were the same: desire and belief. Anyone who can come to expect well-being can achieve it under any conditions. The trick is to expect well-being, or as the man in your example did, simply distract yourself from the lack of well-being.
Did ignoring the illness resolve the illness? I've noticed that throughout my adult life, I've never been so sick I wasn't able to do the work I intended to do that day. In other words, I always felt my work was so important that I didn't consider not doing it. I noticed, however, that if I was beginning to feel less than good, like if I was in the beginning stages of a cold or flu, once I got focused on what I needed to do in terms of my work, the symptoms went away. Is that because I was focused on something that I wanted?
Because you had a strong intention to do your work, and because you enjoyed it when you did it, you had the advantage of a strong momentum toward your well-being. So, when it seemed that something was distracting from that well-being because of some attention to something unwanted, you had only to focus upon your usual attention and your alignment returned quickly, and the symptoms of misalignment faded quickly. Often you try to accomplish too much through action, and in doing so you feel tired or overwhelmed, and those feelings are your indicator that it's time to stop and refresh. But often you push forward in action rather than taking the time to refresh and realign, and that's a very common reason for uncomfortable symptoms to begin to surface. Most people, when they feel a symptom of sickness, begin to give their attention to the symptom and usually slide rapidly into more discomfort and misalignment. The key is to catch your misalignment early. In other words, whenever you feel negative emotion, that's your signal to reach for a different thought to improve your vibrational balance. But if you do not, your signal will get stronger until eventually you may feel physical discomfort. But even then, as in the example you just stated, you can still refocus on something that you desire, taking your attention from whatever has you out of balance and come into alignment, and the symptoms of sickness must then leave. There is no condition from which you cannot recover, but it is much easier if you catch it in the early subtle stages. Sometimes being sick provides you an escape from something else that you do not want to do. And so in your environment, there is much allowing of sickness for the sake of not having to do something else. But when you begin playing that sort of game with self, you are opening the door to greater and greater and greater sickness.
What's the effect of vaccines on diseases? Abraham, since we create our illnesses through thought, then why do vaccines, like the one we have for polio, let's say, seem to almost put an end to the spread of those particular kinds of diseases?
The illness amplifies your desire, and the vaccine amplifies your belief. Therefore, you've accomplished the delicate balance of creation. You want it, and you allow it, or believe it, and so it is.
What about medical doctors, faith healers, and witch doctors? Well, that would lead me to my next question. People like witch doctors and faith healers and medical doctors, all of them have a reputation for healing some people and for losing some of their patients too. So where do you see the place for such people in thought or in life?
The important thing that all of those have in common is that they stimulate belief in their patients. The first part of the balance of creation has been accomplished because the illness has enhanced the desire for wellness, and anything that brings about belief or expectation will give positive results. When medicine and science stop looking for cures and begin to look for vibrational causes or imbalances, they will see a much higher rate of recovery. If a doctor does not believe that you can recover from your illness, your association with that doctor is extremely detrimental. And often well-meaning doctors will defend their doubt for your recovery by pointing out the odds against it, telling you that it's not likely that you will be an exception. The trouble with that logic, even though it's based on the facts or evidence that medicine and science have come to expect, is that it has nothing to do with you. There are only two factors that have anything to do with your recovery, your desire and your belief. And this negative diagnosis is hindering your belief. And so if you have a strong desire for recovery and doctors are giving you no hope, it is logical that you would turn to alternative approaches where hope is not only allowed but encouraged. For there is much evidence to show that people can recover from supposedly incurable diseases.
Your physician as a means to well-being.
Do not condemn your modern medicine, for it has been created because of the thoughts, desires, and beliefs of the members of your society. But we want you to know that you have the power to accomplish anything that you desire. But you cannot look outside of yourself for the validation to do so. Your validation will come from within you in the form of emotion. Seek your vibrational alignment first, and then follow through with inspired action. Let your medical community assist you in your recovery, but do not ask them to do the impossible. Don't ask them to give you a cure to compensate for your misaligned energy. Without asking, there can be no answering, and attention to a problem really isn't asking for a solution. So it's not unusual that doctors would be examining the physical body, looking for problems for which they might have a solution. But looking for problems is a powerful catalyst for attracting them. And so often, well-meaning doctors are instrumental in perpetuating more illness than they are able to find cures for. We're not suggesting that they're not wanting to help you. We're saying that their dominant intent, when they examine you, is to find some evidence of something wrong. And since that is their dominant intent, that is more of what they will attract than anything else. In time, after they've been involved in it for a period of time, they begin to believe in the fallibility of man. They begin to notice more of what is wrong than what is right. And that is the reason that so many of them begin to attract illness into their own experience.
In other words, is that the reason that so often physicians can't heal themselves?
That is the reason. It is not easy to be focused upon others' negatives without experiencing the negative emotion within your own being. And illness exists because of the allowance of negativity. One who never experiences negativity will not be sick.
What can I do to help them? So, what's the best thing that I, as an individual, could do for other people that are having physical problems?
You never help others when you allow yourself to be a sounding board for their complaints. Seeing them as you know they want to be is the most valuable thing you can do for them. Sometimes that means removing yourself from their vicinity, because when you are near them, it's difficult not to notice their complaints. You might say to them, "I've learned the power of my attention and thought, and so as I hear you speaking of what I know you don't want, I must tell you that I must remove myself, for I don't want to contribute to your miscreating." Try to distract them from their complaints. Try to help them focus upon some positive aspects. Do your best to imagine their recovery. You will know when you are of value to anyone, when you are able to think about the person and feel good at the same time. When you love others without worry, you are an advantage to them. When you enjoy them, you help them. When you expect them to succeed, you help them. In other words, when you see them as your own inner being sees them, then and only then is your association with them to their advantage.
That's great. Wow. But what if they're in a coma? From time to time, someone will say, "I have a friend or a family member who's in a coma." Is there anything we can do for a loved one who's in one of those sort of unconscious states?
You are communicating with those around you vibrationally even more than with your words. So even though your loved one may show no signs of recognition, it does not mean that your communication is not being received on some level. You can even communicate with those who have made their physical transitions in what you call death. So do not assume that a seeming unconscious state has barred your communication. The primary reason why people remain in a coma or unconscious state is that they're seeking refreshment from the lackful thoughts that have been hindering them. In other words, while they have withdrawn their conscious attention from the details of their normal life, they are in a state of vibrational communication with their own inner being. It's an opportunity for refreshment, and it's often a time of decision-making, where they're actually determining whether they will find their alignment by returning to the non-physical, or whether they will awaken again back into their physical body. In many regards, it's not very different from being born into their physical body in the first place. Here's the best attitude for you to hold regarding such people. I want you to do what's important to you. I approve of whatever you decide. I love you unconditionally. If you stay, I will be ecstatic. And if you go, I will be ecstatic. Do what is best for you. That's the best you can do for them.
And so those people who are in a state like that for many years, they're actually doing what they want to do?
Most of them, if it's that length of time, made the decision not to return long ago, and someone in the physical overrode their decision and kept them plugged into a machine. But their consciousness has long gone and will not return to this body.
Could I inherit my grandmother's illness? I've heard people say, I have migraine headaches because my mother had migraine headaches, or my mother's overweight, my grandmother was overweight, and my children are also overweight. Don't some people actually inherit physical problems?
What appears to be inherited tendencies is usually the law of attraction's response to the thoughts that you learned from your parents. However, the cells of your body are thinking mechanisms also, and your cells, like you, can learn vibration from those around them. However, when you identify a desire and you find thoughts that feel good, which indicate that you're in vibrational alignment with your inner being or source, the cells of your body will quickly align to the vibration of well-being that your positive thought has established. The cells of your body cannot develop negative tendencies that lead to disease when you are in alignment with your source. Your cells can only get out of alignment when you are. Your body is an extension of your thought. Your contagious or so-called inherited negative symptoms are supported by your negative thought and could not occur in the presence of chronically positive thoughts, no matter what diseases had been experienced by your parents.
So, if I hear my mother speak of her headaches and I accept that, then I can start having headaches myself?
Whether you heard it from your mother or from another, your attention to something you do not want will, in time, bring the essence of it to you. The headache is a symptom of resistance to well-being, which occurs when you hold yourself in vibrational contradiction to the well-being of your inner being. For example, worrying about work or feeling anger at your government can cause physical symptoms. You do not have to focus upon a headache to have one.
Well then, if I hear my mother complain of headaches, and I consciously reject that and say, well, that may be true for you, but that's not for me, does that in some way protect me?
It's always to your advantage to speak of what you want, but you cannot stay in alignment with who you really are and focus upon your mother's headache at the same time. Speaking of what you do want while looking at what you do not want does not put you in alignment with what you do want. Take your attention from the things you do not want to attract and put them upon the things you do want to attract. Focus upon some aspect of your mother that causes you to feel good, or focus upon something other than your mother that causes you to feel good.
What is the media's role in epidemics? Now, I've been hearing in the media recently that there are free flu shots in town for those who want to go in and get them. Will that news affect the spread of the flu virus in any way?
Yes, it will be of great value to the spread of the flu virus. There is no greater source of negative influence in your environment today than your television. Of course, as in every part of your environment, there is wanted and unwanted, and you do have the ability to focus and therefore receive value from your television and media. But those sources do bring you a tremendously distorted, imbalanced point of view. They look all around your world for pockets of trouble, shining spotlights upon them and magnifying them and enhancing the trouble with dramatic music and then funneling it into your living rooms, giving you a tremendously distorted picture of the trouble versus the well-being of your planet. The constant barrage of medical commercials is a powerful source of negative influence. As I explained to you that one out of every five people has this disease lurking, and you're probably the one, they influence you to give thought, and then they say, see your physician. And when you go to your physician, remember the intent of the physician is to find something wrong. Now your negative expectation is born, or enhanced. And with enough of that influence, your body begins to manifest the evidence of those pervasive thoughts. Your medicine is more advanced today than ever before, and yet more of you are sick than ever before. Remember, to create anything, you have only to give thought to it and then expect it, and it is. They show you the statistics, they tell you the horror stories, they stimulate your thought, and as you're being stimulated by the thought in great detail, You have the emotion, the dread, or the fear. I don't want that. And one half of the equation is complete. Then they encourage you to go in for a checkup or to come and get the free flu shot. Obviously, we know it's an epidemic or we wouldn't be offering the free flu shots. And that completes the expectation or the allowing part. And now you're in the perfect position for the receiving of the flu or the essence of whatever it is that they're talking about. You get what you think about whether you want it or not. And so it's of great value for you to begin practicing your own story about your well-being so that when the television presents that frightening story, one that you do not want to live, you can hear their version and feel humor about it rather than fear.
Catch uncomfortable sensations while they're small.
The first indication that you're disallowing your physical well-being comes to you in the form of negative emotion. You will not see a breakdown of your physical body at the first sign of negative emotion, but focusing upon subjects that cause a prolonged feeling of negative emotion will eventually cause disease. If you're unaware that the negative emotion indicates the vibrational disharmony that is hindering the level of well-being that you're asking for, you may be, like most people, accepting a certain level of negative emotion and feeling no need to do something about it. Most people, even when they feel alarm at the level of negative emotion or stress they're feeling, do not know what to do about it because they believe they're reacting to conditions or circumstances that are outside of their control. And so since they can't control the unpleasant conditions, they feel powerless to change the way they feel. We want you to understand that your emotions come in response to your focus, and under all conditions, you have the power to find thoughts that feel slightly better or slightly worse. And when you consistently choose slightly better, the law of attraction will bring steady improvement to your experience. The key to achieving and maintaining a physical state of well-being is to notice the indicators of discord in the early stages. It's much easier to refocus your thoughts in the early subtle stages than after the law of attraction has responded to chronic negative thoughts, bringing bigger negative results. If you could make a decision to never allow negative emotion to linger within you, and at the same time acknowledge that it is your work alone to refocus your attention in order to feel better, rather than asking someone else to do something different or for some circumstance to change to make you feel better, you will not only be a very healthy person, but you will be a joyful person. Joy, appreciation, love, and health are all synonymous. Resentment, jealousy, depression, anger, and sickness are all synonymous.
Wow, that's powerful. Are arthritis and Alzheimer's disease somehow resolvable? Abraham, can the gnarled joints caused by arthritis or the memory loss caused by the Alzheimer's disease be resolved? I mean, is it possible to recover from those kinds of illnesses at whatever age a person's at?
The conditions of your body truly are vibrational indicators of the balance of your thoughts. And so when you change your thoughts, the indicators must change also. The only reason that some diseases seem stubborn and unchangeable is because your thoughts are often stubborn and unchanging. Most people learn their patterns of counterproductive thought, often based on truths they've witnessed or learned from others. And as they hold stubbornly to those patterns of thought, which do not serve them, they then experience the results of those thoughts. And then an uncomfortable cycle occurs where they think about unwanted things, valid, true, unwanted things. And in doing so, by the law of attraction, they prevent wanted things from coming into their experience and allow unwanted things to come instead. Then they focus even more on those unwanted things, causing more unwanted things to come. You can accomplish change in every experience, but you have to begin to see your world differently. You have to tell the story the way you want it to be rather than like it is. When you choose the direction of your thoughts and conversations by the way they feel as you think them or speak them, then you begin to deliberately offer vibrations. You are vibrational beings whether you know it or not, and the law of attraction is eternally responding to the vibrations you are offering.